Guys, to another episode of the Macro Golf Podcast. We have just had the Christmas break here, so it's our first podcast since Christmas. Joe, do you have a nice break?
Yeah, if we're looking a little bit podgy, the Christmas food has worked up to our cheeks. It was really nice. Like, our calendar is always a bit crazy this time of year because I would say to golf coaches, imagine your calendar and then flip reverse it, and that's more like our calendar. We're always quieter in the summer and very busy over winter, so it's nice to have a little bit of a break in this busy part of the year, chill out, spend some time with family, and eat a lot. Right, that's kind of
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can definitely say I've overindulged this Christmas period, but I suppose that kind of brings us on to quite nicely to the topic we're going to be discussing today, which is flexible dieting versus restrictive dieting, kind of short-term, long-term benefits, pros, cons to both. We've both spoken about this loads with clients about different techniques to dieting or nutrition, however you'd like to put it. And I mean, there's endless ways of going about achieving your kind of nutrition goals, whether that's putting on weight, losing weight, changing body composition, whatever that might be. You can do that pretty much like your training plans in an infinite amount. I wouldn't say there's any right or wrong, but there might be some better ways and some less better ways, and that's kind of what we're going to go and break down into today's podcast.
Yeah, and I think this is a real slippery one for us to get sucked into a lot of rabbit holes. So we'll have to be careful with that. But maybe if we just, first of all, maybe try and give like a bit more of a overreaching explanation of what is flexible dieting, what is restrictive dieting. And then maybe from there, we'll start to give some examples of both. And then maybe we'll start to dig down onto how we work with clients. Because I've definitely used both techniques to some variation in different ways. But I'd say that there's been a reason for using that for that individual every single time. So I think there's going to be some individual factors that go into this. But maybe if we give an overarching explanation of the two terms and what kind of would be categorized as the two terms. I don't know if you want to do that.
And then absolutely. So in a really simple way, guys, restrictive dieting is... In the name, basically, you're restricting potential certain food groups, certain foods, even times of day that you eat or don't eat. Restrictive dieting. Flexible dieting would be absolutely everything's on the cards, and then you just have to focus on other things to manage kind of calorie intake, I suppose. In a really simplistic way, you're kind of... obvious ones, if we were to give some examples for restrictive dieting, is like your old Atkins diets, things like that. No carbs, carnivore. They're the examples of kind of restrictive dieting. Flexible dieting is getting more popularized, but not a lot of clients, when I'm talking about it, will still go, huh, before you go and break it down and kind of explain to them that. I think people have, and I think we've probably spoken about this before, but I think there's definitely a connotation with the word diet that actually means restrictive. I think you say the word diet, people automatically go, right, I've got to restrict something, whether that's the amount of food I eat or what foods I eat. There's that connotation there, and I think it's our jobs as health professionals to try and break that barrier down and actually go, look, your diet is just everything you consume. That's what your diet is. It doesn't need to be looked at as some sort of negative word. Simple enough explanation there, Joe?
You've done a good job. It's difficult. I think where this gets tricky, and I think this is quite good for us to clarify at the start before we start getting into the details of it, is when we talk about dieting, the thing that comes to the forefront of most people's mind then is weight loss. Yeah. So if people talk about, we're obviously going to talk about flexible dieting and restrictive dieting. And the principle around that would, in most cases, be weight loss. So if we make it very, very simple and say that it's weight loss, then it's basically what we're trying to put things into two categories. But all of these things basically are a method of reducing the amount of calories that are being consumed. That's pretty much what they're all doing. And they're just doing that in a slightly different way. What quite often happens, though, is for a lot of the restrictive methods, there seems to be something tied to them that they are in some way magical, or something happens because we removed this food group or we didn't eat at this time of day, and therefore this magical thing happened that then caused extra weight loss. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. It just isn't the case. Mostly, there are a few things that might make small changes, but typically the way that these diets work in weight loss terms is they are all just reducing the amount of calories that are being consumed by that individual who is adhering or not adhering to that diet, basically. But as you said, some are formed in restrictive terms in terms of removing food groups or foods or time of day of eating, and others are more flexible, which means nothing is off the table, everything can be consumed, but it's the quantities of those foods that are being consumed that then causes the variation in calorie intake, basically.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Really well said. Let's start off the back. I want to ask you a question. Why do you think that these restrictive diets are, to two parts, one, so popular, and two, actually sometimes quite successful?
And I think the one leads to the other, right? The reason they're so popular is because they're, for a lot of people, successful. What I believe, and what I've seen, is most of the restrictive diets are pretty successful on short-term basis, in terms of people lose a lot of weight in the first couple of days, the first couple of weeks, and the first couple of months. So, for example, if you're going to remove carbohydrates, let's say that's a good one, let's say if you can do some kind of keto diet and you're going to remove carbohydrates completely from your diet, you will lose weight in the first week. That will happen. It's going to be very difficult for you to overeat those calories back on other food groups. You will lose a lot of water weight and you will look significantly different. Therefore, it's worked in terms of it's done its job of making you lose weight. And it's also going to become very popular because everyone's going to say, oh, you've lost weight, you look different, or they're going to post photos online, or they're going to tell people about it. And they say, I tried this diet and I lost, you know, 5 kilos in the first week. It's amazing. So I think that kind of is why they get the attraction. In terms of why they work because they reduce calorie intake. That's why they work. And I think why they're successful is, again, that short-term effect, but also the fact that it's very easy for them to sell some kind of dream. Whereas if we remove this food group, this magical chemical change happens and we get this amazing result. I think it's very easy for them to sell that process.
Yeah. I just want to add on to that. Completely agree. But I think another reason why they are so successful and why they do work sometimes is just because they're so simple. And for a lot of the like fuzz and fugazi that, like you said, we're probably going to get drawn down in this podcast. If you say to someone, just stop eating carbs and you'll lose weight, they can go, all right, that kind of makes sense. Where it doesn't help in the long term, like we're going to talk about, is when you say to someone, right, so you're 27, you're not going to have carbs for the rest of your life then. Is that how you're going to live your life? And if they say, yep, that's fine, absolutely. Chances are most people aren't going to want to then go back to the kind of status quo at some point. And then the question is, do we lose all the gains that we've made? Or like, then where are we at? Because we haven't really taught ourselves how to flexible diet and treat ourselves to the amazing amount of and vast array of food that we have access to us. That's where it obviously gets a little bit tricky. But I think the kind of simplicity of them means that people just go, right, I know where I stand. I'm not going to, past 4 o'clock at night, I'm not eating. And then I'm not eating until 11 o'clock in the morning. Perfect. Done. I don't need to worry about counting calories or my macros or this, that, and the other. They just go, perfect. Black and white. I can stick to this for, it depends on the individual, but a short amount of time. Short to medium, I would say, amount of time.
Yeah, it definitely depends on which one, definitely depends on people's lifestyle, definitely depends on many things. But you're right, generally it's some kind of big intervention, some kind of big change to lifestyle. It's simple in terms of, you know, what, let's think of some more examples, you know, no carb, let's say no zero sugar is another one. Vegan is another one. You know, carnivore, meat only, these types of diets are simple in their rules, if you want to call them rules, they're simple in those terms, but they're very difficult to adhere to over long periods.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're trying to get to, which is ultimately, if you want to be successful in anything, unfortunately, it's the long term thing. If you've got a wedding coming up in 2 months, yeah, crack on. Like, you know, maybe that is the answer for some people for short term benefit, but it's definitely going to be, well, for most people, it's definitely not going to be the solution for long term success.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you were saying just before we jumped on, you just had a conversation with a client who had just taken on a new diet, or they were just about to start a new restrictive diet. How did that go? I sometimes find it frustrating and have to like really kind of calm myself down and really try and get in their head to understand why. There's obviously a reason why they've chosen it. They've probably tried other types of diets in the past that probably haven't worked. So that new shiny thing that you go, right, this is the one. They've probably had a few friends that have said all the benefits and stuff. How do you as a coach then work with that?
It's a great question. It's really, really hard, actually. I actually find it more difficult when someone's got an idea in their head already of exactly what they want to do rather than someone who's lost. Now, you know, I'm going to be careful with, like, again, going down the rabbit hole, but I think, so let's say, for example, this individual, he was now going to start a new carnivore diet. So he's going to do very restrictive meat-based, you know, removing a lot of food groups, going to do this diet. His reasoning behind that was because he'd listened to a lot of podcasts recently, watched a lot of YouTube videos recently, read a lot of blog things recently, and had kind of got sucked into the idea that this diet is going to transform not only his body, but it's also going to help him digest things better. It's going to help him have better focus. It's going to help him think clearer, have better clarity, better sleep, all these things that, all these buzzwords that can be mentioned in podcasts recently, right? So, and on Instagram and TikTok. So he'd done a lot of research. He'd read a lot of this stuff, absorbed a lot of this content, a lot of this information. He believed that this was the best way for him to move forward because it kind of ticked his box. And the kind of the example I can give also is, it's almost like a religion mentality where
they're like cults almost.
Yeah, he was lost, right? So originally, if you're lost and you're like, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to start, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, then you're basically in a position of vulnerability to be sold the answer, right? This is how a lot of sales companies work, and you know, it's a position of vulnerability to be able to have your solution sold to you, if that makes sense. So if you're lost, it's very easy to be guided into a position of potential solution. And that's what happens quite often with a lot of people. They're lost, they hear something that they say, this is the solution for you, and they follow that and they believe that is their thing. The issue we always have when we're dealing with someone in this situation is it's actually very hard to then change their mind on that thing and to get them to see other options or other points of view because they're so deep into this solution that this is their answer. I'm rambling, but basically what I just tried to do with him is give him all the different options and all the different possibilities and basically take it back to what does he actually want to achieve, what the actual goal that he's trying to get, and what other options does he have to achieve that goal, one of which might be the diet he suggested, one of the, you know, the diet he wants to do, but others might be slightly less restrictive, maybe a little bit more flexible, or a slightly different restrictive diet that works in a different way, right? I'm trying to give him all the options. The other things you can start to play on is social events, social occasions, family, these things. If someone's really going to drive down a restrictive diet, it's worth mentioning these things and considering these things. But the reason why I think it was quite good to talk about it today is ultimately we've left it with the fact that he's going to give this a go. He's going to try it. He wants to try it. He wants to give it a go. And we said what we can do is almost use it as a bit of an experiment to say, try and let's see what happens. So hopefully in a few podcast time, I might be able to give you feedback on how he's getting on. But that's pretty much where we left it. He's going to give it a go. He really wants to try it. I said I'm going to send him some information on other things, you know, maybe some different thoughts, different ideas around different diets that he can read up on and ingest content on. But yeah, ultimately, if someone wants to try something, it's going to be very hard for us to change their mind. And as long as they're trying something in a safe way, you know, it's not as if someone's saying, you know, I really want to try this exercise. It's terrible for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, okay, that's maybe a little bit more difference if there's danger involved. But if he wants to try this diet and he wants to give it a go, you know, the harm on that is very minimal, right? We might just lose a couple of months of progress potentially. But he might get this initial result that we've discussed potentially. It might be that it lasts a month, maybe it lasts 2 months. Maybe then he doesn't do it. But it's going to be a learning process for him. It's going to be a learning process for me. And yeah, we'll be able to see kind of what happens off the back of it. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I think my main problem with a lot of these restrictive diets is it's the damage that gets inflicted once the wheels fall off, and it quickly reverts back to old habits, and you miss a day, and then you go, oh God, I've missed a day, I've missed a week. Oh, there's no point now. I'm just going to go back to and grab everything back in the kitchen again, and you're lost. You're in the middle of the sea without a sail or anything like that. It's a weird one. People's kind of psyches and mentality around missing diets. It's making sure you've got some checkpoints, and kind of within those restrictive ones, that say the carnival one, if you do go off and you go and get some chips, you need to make sure you have that mentality of, right, I've only missed it for a little bit, and it's not all hope is gone, and you just go back to, that's all you have now, chips, crisps, carbs, potatoes, the lot, right? That's sometimes where, it's not sometimes where, it's where clients that have done these things that I've worked with in the past have, wheels have really, really started to come off, because you're just lost without a plan now. It's where flexible dieting done properly is amazing, because there's no guilt. I always talk about clients, and it's particularly clients that are trying to kind of lose weight. There's often these kind of underlying emotions of guilt with it, with kind of messing up nutrition and what you're eating. And then with that comes a bit of despair and wallowing within that. And then you just go, there's no point. I'm just going to eat whatever I want, because I can't do it. Flexible dieting allows you to have a little bit of kind of up and downs, and because there is no restrictive foods or anything like that, you don't feel like you've done anything wrong. And that's kind of what I like to talk about a lot with clients, is that we don't want to be labeling foods as right and wrong, or sins, as some of these kind of programs like to call them and things. Like, I just think that's so, so backwards. The food is just food, no matter what it is. And if you, I think we've spoken about this before, like if you wanted to lose weight and just eat chocolate cake, you could do it. If your favorite thing were marshmallows and you wanted to lose weight, we could get you there. We could absolutely do that 100%. But also, if you just want to learn to control kind of your, what's the word, kind of your, it's emotional, isn't it? It's controlling your emotions a little bit and saying, right, I'm going out to a restaurant with all my friends tonight. Can I safely have what I want? Can I not get carried away and have a starter, main, dessert, however much alcohol, can I know, and I can just have a main course and perfect, I'm healthy. And that's what kind of flexible dieting does. It allows you to have all these, allows you to go to all these social events without the kind of dread of, right, I'm not going to be able to eat anything. But it's really hard work to get yourself in that state of flexible dieting. Because I don't think, you don't see that initial huge weight drop that you would do with say carnivore, like we're talking about. It is small consistent steps, but the word is consistent, that you can probably do, if you do it right, you do it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think you're right there in what you're saying, because I think there are, you know, this is not us, you know, trying to pick a side. This is us really trying to just discuss out the benefits of both options. But I think there are things within restrictive dieting mentalities that are very much like an all or nothing, you know, an on or off. I either did the diet or I didn't do the diet. I either, you know, this is a yes or a no. It's quite black and white. And the issue with that, it means that, let's say, for example, you go out for breakfast and you come off your whatever diet which you were doing, the whole day is kind of ruined. I hear these people like use this mentality as well. Oh, the day is ruined. And then it's like, so I might as well do the next thing, right? So is this mentality of like, that's ruined, so now I might, it doesn't kind of, that's gone, so I might as well just stuff my face today and I'll start again tomorrow, or I'll start again on Monday. And these are the types of terminologies that produce a really, really bad relationship with food. They are really like bad places to be. you're never going to win that battle, right? So I think there's definitely techniques from within the restrictive mentalities that we can take and use in a more flexible model. And that's something I definitely do often with a lot of clients. I do that. But I really believe, and this is something we believe a lot at MacroCom as well, is if you get into an all or nothing mentality, you will lose. That you know, yeah, it just doesn't work. Like, you will lose more than you win, and overall, you know, it just won't end well. So trying to find a balance where you're right, where there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no off and on, there's just, you know, a process that you're trying to follow, and you're trying to just be as close to that as you can on most days. Some days you'll be better than others, some days will be terrible. That's all part of it, and that's all accounted for in the journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. It's a weird one. It's like you said, this is kind of all or nothing. The whole day is ruined. There's an analogy I used to use loads with clients. It's that, and that what you've just said there, kind of the all or nothing, saying, right, I've ruined breakfast, now the whole day is ruined. It's basically like you're driving down the motorway and you've got a flat tire. So instead of stopping, pulling over, changing your flat tire, you're basically going, the whole thing's ruined. Let me just slash all my other tires now. That's it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that in real life. But the mentality there is such that you do go, right, perfect, this day's ruined, let me start Monday. And then before you know, you've had 4 or 5 days, a week, 2 weeks, and you're completely back to where you were again. Rather than just saying, like, look, stuff gets in the way. Like, you all have hard days at work, and perhaps you treat yourself at the end of the day to something maybe you shouldn't do. Just enjoy it. I often get clients who have, like, done that, maybe had something they shouldn't have had, and then talk about it and said, oh, they felt really guilty. And I said, no, just enjoy it. Like, you've made the mistake, own it. It was obviously something you wanted because you chose it. Just enjoy it. Like, don't have the guilt about it because it's happened now. Like, I missed a training session 2 weeks ago. Like, stuff gets in the way. Life is there. Do you know what I mean? You're always, like, I really like what you just said. You're always going to mess up. You're always going to mess up in life. You're always going to miss something out, whether it's training sessions or on your sleep or your nutrition or whatever it might be. That's just part of life. And it's having the protocols in place to get back on as quickly as possible, to keep going as consistently as possible, which is what we've spoken about loads with training. But it's the same principles for following nutrition stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and again, we've spoken specifically about weight loss, but this, I do believe that this mentality is also for performance, you know, for eating for performance, eating for muscle, eating specifically for fat loss. You know, these principles are pretty well all encompassing, but it just, the weight loss one just really hits the button for people in terms of that relationship that they have with this all or nothing, on or off, failure, success, starting in Monday. Yeah. Like, weight loss is the biggest one for that, and I think that's important for us to, you know, to really pick on that specific example.
Yeah, because, completely agree.
Yeah, that's where people have the worst relationship with food, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we probably kind of need to go down now into the flexible dieting, because at the moment we've kind of said flexible dieting, you just eat whatever you want. What are the protocols obviously within flexible dieting that you would talk about with clients so that we can actually still kind of get to the goals that we're trying to achieve, whether that is weight. Let's stay with weight loss just to keep it simpler, but like you said, they will carry over.
So I've changed my thoughts on this over the last 10 or 15 years or so, slowly. And I used to be very much like it was a trend at the time of the if it fits your macros mentality. And it was something that I believed in a lot. It's something I did myself. It's something I did a lot with clients, especially when I was training bodybuilders. It was something that I used a lot. And the idea of if it fits your macros is basically getting the correct amount of, so basically having a calorie goal and then also a goal for your protein, your carbohydrates and your fats. And the idea is that you can pretty much eat whatever you want, whatever food you want, as long as they hit those metrics of calories, protein, carbs, and fats, right? So as long as you hit those numbers, if it hits your macros, you can have whatever you want, which means you can have a donut, you can have a chocolate bar, that's fine. But generally, to hit those numbers, you would also need to be eating, you know, decent amount of meats and vegetables and carbohydrates from other sources as well, right? So that was the idea. So as long as it can hit your macros, you can pretty much eat whatever you want. And that works, right? For weight loss, it really, really works. It's probably the most effective, you know, if you do any of the restrictive methods, they're basically tapping into that science, but they're just doing it in a slightly different way without you tracking it. But essentially, you're controlling your calories really well. You're giving yourself a good balance of good macronutrients, and you know, you will get a really good result on that, both in muscle gain, fat loss, everything. But what it doesn't really consider is it doesn't consider fiber. It doesn't really consider micronutrients. It doesn't consider food timing, protein timing. It doesn't take into consideration like spreading out food to crave, to remove cravings, to remove hunger, to improve energy. So there's a lot of things that it doesn't do that maybe for a lot of people, it doesn't matter at the start, but the things that as you try and make something more sustainable, they're things that I do believe make a big difference. So again, without trying to go into too deep into it, I kind of just try and tick onto a few boxes now. I basically make sure that people's calories are correct. The amount of protein they have is correct. The amount of fiber they have correct. And then I make sure that they try and have 3 to 4 protein windows a day. And then I make sure that they can just eat around the time that suits them. And apart from that, they can do whatever the hell they want, basically. Yeah, really, yeah. That's pretty much my mentality. So it's very flexible, but we have some specific criteria that we still need to hit. But how they hit those numbers is very much up to them and very flexible. However, I have seen over the last like 5 or 6 years or so that accompanying that with some restrictive dieting techniques, we can get even better results in terms of trying to fit some of this into people's lifestyles. So for example, I've used a lot of with clients is the fasting windows, but applying that also to the calories per day, protein per day, and matching it to their lifestyle. So if people are like, I'm not that bothered about breakfast, then we say, fine, your first meal of the day is 11 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And that then also basically creates like an eating window naturally. So it's using some of those techniques, but applying it into a more flexible model, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. You're being restrictive there on timings rather than saying these foods are taboo, basically.
But only using that as a tool for that individual, right? So it might be that actually that person doesn't need that because, you know, they can eat their foods in that amount of time. They don't feel hungry. They feel fine. But if someone's struggling to hit those numbers through the flexibility, then applying some of these rules, like you said, making it simple, and then applying some of those rules or techniques can assist them in their flexible dieting process, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think we've kind of touched upon that. We do pretty much the same thing with clients here, that it is making sure eating within the calories. Protein is the one that, like, I've said to people, and this is always the, are you sure, kind of question. You say, right, I want you to double your protein intake every day. And then sometimes I'll say, depending on the client, depending on what I know their kind of food diary is, just double your protein. Don't do anything else. You'll come back in a month and you'll weigh less and you'll feel better. And it's the, what? I'm eating more? And it's like, yeah, absolutely. You're eating more, and I promise you, you're going to actually eat less without even realizing. And that's what you kind of touched on there with kind of getting the protein windows in to is techniques so you don't get those hunger cravings throughout the day. Like, if you guys aren't eating enough protein, it's a really, really quick, easy, simple way of eating less, particularly kind of sugary or fatty foods. Once you are consuming the right amount of protein, it can be a really quick way to some gains there that a lot of people just are leaving off the table, I'd say.
Yeah. And again, it's like, it always depends, you know, this is your phrase, it depends, but it really depends on the person in front of you, because there's certain clients that you could say to them, okay, I want you to eat this amount of calories, this amount of protein, this many carbs, this many fats, off you go. and they'll do it, and they'll be to the number, bang, 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 and they'll be perfect, and they'll get good results. There'll be other clients where you say, "Oh, we need to eat this money," and they immediately will have a wall up of they don't want to track calories, or they don't want to track this, or they don't want to track that, or they don't want to do that. And that's where these little techniques that you're saying, okay, I just want you to eat twice the amount of protein you're eating, don't do anything else. Or, okay, I just want you to remove that and don't do anything else. And that's where we can start to introduce these little small techniques that seem a little bit more restrictive. You know, actually being quite restrictive when you say to someone, I want someone to double your protein. But actually, you know that just making that one change is going to really make a difference to the amount of calories they consume every day, and it's going to end up making a difference to their weight loss. So it's really about the person in front of you and the individual. And for anyone listening to this, like try to resonate with any of these imaginary people we're creating here, because if you can find a method that works for you, then that is going to be a really good route for you for longevity, because sustainability is always going to come from your best approach. You know, if you're someone that snacks a lot in the evenings, maybe create yourself an eating window that means you stop eating after dinner at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Maybe that works for you. Might not work for someone else. Maybe it works for you. You know, we've always got to kind of look at all of these tools and think which one is going to suit my lifestyle the best. Because that's going to be the one that allows you to do it for years and years. And that's what's going to make the real difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're right, those kind of more restrictive techniques are applied to the flexible dieting. You're not using the foods to be restrictive. You're potentially using the calories or the timing windows or the macros, whatever you are using. And you are right with what it completely depends on your psyche. Do you like to kind of be really regimented? And if you do, if are you the one like really scheduling, really planning your days, planning your weeks, then you could probably, and you probably would do really well at tracking every single thing you eat, tracking all of your macronutrients, having it down and going, right, this is what I need to hit target wise. You'd probably be able to stick to that for a long amount of time until eventually you can roughly eyeball things anyway. Like, we're all kind of creatures of habits, and you all eat the same things in roughly a month. It doesn't take that long to kind of, once you've tracked calories, to really get a gauge of what you are consuming. And for some people that works perfectly. For others, you're right, tracking calories is a whole like, no, I don't want to get addicted, da, 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 da. And I completely understand that. You might want something a bit more less restrictive in the whole kind of grand scheme of things, but a bit more simple restrictive with other things, and that could really work for you. I've worked with hundreds of people that have all done things completely differently and all seen positive results. It's like we said at the start of the podcast, there's no right way of doing this. It's not kind of like hypertrophy training where you need to get a certain amount of sets and reps in a week to create the change you're looking for. Dieting, nutrition, like, it's however it fits your lifestyle and lets you live kind of how you want to live and feel the most confident you want to feel, I guess.
Yeah. Two things that you just really sparked into my mind there. I'll try and cover both, although they're going to be completely unrelated. So the first one there is finding a way for that person. There was a client I had recently who was really struggling with losing the weight, and they had a lot of like family events and things going on at home and home dinners and stuff, and they thought that was their problem. But we basically just found the two meals in the day, which was actually Monday to Friday, breakfast and lunch, that he had control over. So he was able to actually pick what he was going to eat for those two meals on a Monday to Friday. Weekends were out the window, evenings, no chance. So what we did is we basically just got control of those two meals. So for those two meals, we basically said, okay, this is what we're going to try and do for breakfast. This is what we're going to try and do for lunch. And then the rest of it, he basically just carried on as he was. And he noticed a significant difference in his body weight, significant difference in his muscle tone. And he didn't feel like he was restricted at all. Still went out for dinner with his friends, still went to parties, still did everything we needed to do. But it was just the two meals that he could really have easy control over. He just got those right, and that made a significant difference. Because what it did is it increased his protein over the week and decreased his calories over the week. So that was the result we got. But it was just a method that we used to basically decrease his calories and increase his protein.
Yeah.
Simple, right? But that was the method for him, which basically like ignore dinners, do whatever the hell you want, ignore weekends, do whatever you want. But these two meals, we're going to get those right, but only 5 days of the week. And it works.
Yeah.
So it was just his way of doing it. And that kind of leads me on to the second point. I managed to somehow link it back. Although all of these things will work in some ways for some people, like you said, it's not like hypertrophy, we've got two specific things. I think there are some fundamentals that over the years of like, you know, maybe slightly changing my viewpoint on some things, maybe adapting the way that I do things. There just seems to be some fundamentals that are like, they just don't budge. They just like, you have to kind of do these things if you really want to improve your physique over a long period. And I think we think of the same ones as these. I think your calories have got to match what your goal is. That is pretty much fundamental. There's no way around that.
If you that's the science. Like,
that is
black and white. Like a calorie is just a unit of energy that is in food. Like it's not some like fugazi things that all these kind of other, I'm not naming names, all these kind of other diets say that you don't need to count calories and da 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 da. That is the only way you, if we're talking about weight loss, that is the only way you lose weight is you're in a calorie deficit. You're consuming less energy than you're putting out. If factually, and unless you've got other kind of really rare gut problems and things like that, that's the only way of doing it.
Yeah. So basically, as long as our calories match, either we're trying to lose weight, less calories, or gain weight, or stay the same weight, that has to be in place. However you want to do that, if that's done through flexible dieting, if that's done through intermittent fasting, if that's done through carnivore, paleo, whatever you want to do, if you want to lose weight, that is going to be the ultimate metric of what happens. So that is fundamental. The second one that just doesn't go away is protein. Essentially, it's pretty fundamental that you need sufficient protein levels. And it's also pretty fundamental that elevating those protein levels give you extra benefit as well in terms of muscle maintenance, in terms of health, in terms of keeping your body fat down. There's a lot of really cool research now of even increasing calories through protein and still seeing weight loss. Like this protein is just like king and it just doesn't seem to go away. So I think those two are absolutely fundamental. The more it just gets looked at, fiber just seems to be like the one for longevity and health and, you know, just so many diseases and complications to get fought away through fiber. And when we look at diets like vegan diets and whole grain diets and these things, a lot of the benefit that comes from those is from the fiber. So that like a huge one. I also think meal timing for protein is, you know, for muscle gain, it's key. The science is there for that. And then I think for hunger levels, that's pretty important.
For cravings, without getting too complex within the hormones and the stuff, if you can split up that protein intake throughout the day, there's the benefits have been shown thousands of times.
Yeah, and I think the final one, which is just like the least sexy, but it's key, is generally eating foods in their most natural form as close to the, you know, the original form as possible seems to be way better, right? Eating a baked potato rather than crisps, or eating fruits rather than a smoothie, or rather than a fruit juice, or eating, I don't know, whole grains and rather than eating bread. Like generally that seems to also be the reoccurring trend in all this stuff. Pretty much every diet hits one of those things. Any diet you give, any diet you shout out now will basically be trying to improve one of those things.
Yeah.
There was a diet that came out, so it would have been about 15 years ago. It got really popular. It was basically like the grazing diet, right? So basically people just eating all the time. That was a diet, right? They basically just ate all the time. And they were like, well, that stops my body going to starvation mode. When I go into starvation mode, I gain all this weight because my body doesn't know when it's going to get this next meal. That was the mentality, right? And people lost weight on it because what they were doing is they were just eating little often, little often, little often, little often, little often. By the end of the day, they hadn't eaten as many calories, basically. It's crazy some of the stuff that gets... But yeah, essentially they're working on those three things. I think calories, protein, fiber, meal timing, natural source.
Yeah.
Some of them do better than others, some do more than others, but essentially we're trying to hit all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we could kind of keep saying, everything does work for different individuals. Some of the fittest people I know are strict keto CrossFitters. Do you know what I mean? That can lift over 2 times body weight and look phenomenal, and don't find it too restrictive. So it's just try to resonate with some of the stuff we said and try and kind of put your mind into it. If this is something you're looking at addressing for yourselves, it's hard. There's so much out there in so many different ways and forms and fads and trends that just try not to get caught up into the kind of the noise of it all. Break it down into the simple things we've tried to talk about today, and just see if it fits your lifestyle. That's the main one. What can you see yourself doing in the next year? And would you still be enjoying the food you're eating?
Agreed. Is there anything on that quick list that we listed out there that you think's missing? Like, is there any fundamentals you think need to be hit? Because I'm thinking in my head of all of these diets, and I can't think of a single one that ticks all of those boxes.
I don't think so.
So I think it's quite an interesting way to think about it, right? If you're someone, let's say you just use the carnivore diet again, if you're someone's like, right, I'm going to go on the carnivore diet because it's going to be the best for me for this reason, that reason, you've almost just got to go through that thing and think, right, calories, protein, fiber, meal time in, natural source. Well, calories, yeah, you can tick that box. Protein, yeah, I can tick that box. Fiber, no, probably not. I'm not going to tick that box. Meal timing could tick that box. Natural source could potentially tick that box as well. So it's just the fiber that I'm missing. Okay, fine. Then we go to keto. Okay, keto, calories, yes. Protein, yeah, probably. Fiber, no, probably not.
No.
Meal timing, probably yes. Natural source, maybe, but hard.
Depends on the sources of fat that you're using and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably going to have some difficulties there. So you can just start to flick through some diets in your head and think, okay, how do I tick all of these boxes? And if it's a case of, you know, maybe like a vegan diet, then might it hit the protein, or it might be quite difficult for you to get natural source because to just eat raw things is very difficult, right? So just have a little bit of a think of like, how do I tick all these boxes?
Yeah. The only thing that I would... The only thing that I would add to that is convenience. Just like, is it going to be convenient for you in your lifestyle?
Yeah.
Like, does it, like we kind of said, does that stop you going out for certain social events? Or like, does it mean you're restrictive in other areas? We've all not got all the time in the world to just kind of be in the kitchen all day and cook the perfect food for any of these diets. It's got to be convenient for you and your lifestyle. It's a huge one. It's almost sometimes more important than some of the other ones you mentioned, just depending on clients, depending on work-life balance and how busy you are. But no, I really like that. Kind of go through that checklist and just see where it's at. And perhaps if you haven't tried getting enough fiber or getting enough protein, just try it and maybe see how you feel. See if you feel better, see if you feel worse, like you won't feel worse. See how much better you do feel, and then go, oh, perfect. Maybe I can actually try and plan something around this. But it is very much like, it's a long journey getting your nutrition in the right place. It's not an overnight fix. It takes a long time, and I, working with clients, depending on where we are, depending on the kind of worst case, best case, and eating habits that they're at, you try to target one thing at a time. Get one thing right, we'll keep that getting right, and then we kind of move on to the next. Otherwise it's, you just feel overwhelmed, you just feel like, oh my god, I've got to change absolutely everything, and you won't. Just try and get one thing right. Just try and get more protein, get a bit more fiber. And then once you've done that for maybe 3 weeks, a month, however long it takes you to feel like you're in a really good place there, then move on. Don't go on a huge overhaul and try and change it all, because you won't be able to stick to it. You'll end up beating yourself up for failing at it, and it's not going to help you in the long run.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think it probably did make it seem that way as well when I was explaining it. So I think you're right. And like, as an example, I had a client that I spoke with today who is overweight and needs to make a significant change to his lifestyle, and we are ignoring everything apart from calories for now. We are literally just getting the calories into a better position. Then you're right. I'll probably then either do protein or fiber, whichever is going to be easiest for him. Then I'll probably worry about making those foods a little bit more natural or a little bit better choices. And then finally, we'll worry about food timing at the end. But that is the least important. So if you imagine it as like a hierarchy, yeah, calories will always supersede the next thing, then probably protein, fiber,
yeah,
quality of those, and then timing. Yeah. Where a lot of things, what happens is a lot of restrictive diets completely flip that hierarchy around.
Yeah.
You still get a result, yeah, but then it makes it very difficult. But yeah, I think if you can tick all of those boxes, that's amazing. It's very, very hard to tick all those boxes. But if you can tick all those boxes, what you're basically trying to do is like, how do I tickle them in the most convenient way possible? And that's probably where convenience comes in. It's like, you've got all these things, you're like, yeah, but how can I make that convenient? Like, convenient like supersedes all of that. It's, yeah, what I do for myself. I look at all those things and I just think, how can I make that as easy as possible? Protein powder makes that a lot easier. Slow cookers make that a lot easier. Yeah. Like these little things, right? You're just like, how do I make this so much easier for my lifestyle? And that's basically what we do on a daily basis, pretty much for clients.
Yeah.
Just trying,
yeah,
to use, yeah, our mind and experience to think, how can I make this as easy as possible for them?
And that's what it should, yeah, be. We want it to feel easy. You want it to feel effortless. Okay. You don't want it to feel, I'm not going to say the word, but restrictive is kind of the word, and negative. You don't want it to feel negative. And that's where the connotations are with dieting and things, that it's a negative term, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You should just be able to enjoy your life and enjoy the foods that you eat without feeling bad or bad about it.
100%. It's a good place to be. It's fun.
Yeah. It's yeah, but for a lot of people, it can be daunting to, because you might feel you're miles and miles and miles away. So like Joe just said there, just choose one of them, just try and get that thing right, and just try and build some positive momentum, try and get that going, and then you'll be amazed how quickly you can see change within a couple of months. Less than that, if depending on what techniques you use and things. Yeah, anything else you wanted to add there, Joe?
No, just like a lot of what we spoke about today, there's information on a lot of this stuff in the MacroGolf app. So if you want to go and read a little bit more on any of this stuff, you can see that in the app. We talk a lot about fiber, we talk about protein, we talk about calories, we talk about weight loss. We talk about a lot of that stuff in the app. And I actually think this episode today has probably sparked a bit of a thought in my head of maybe doing some kind of more in-depth online course or ebook or follow-along course for this. Like, we could actually say, you know, we're going to sort your diet out in the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and we're just going to change one thing a week for the next 6 to 8 weeks, and by the end of that 8 weeks, maybe you're in a much better position. So this has been a good conversation for us to kind of think of some different ways that we can help people that we don't work with one-to-one, but
yeah, you know, yeah
providing a little bit more support.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I love that. And as always, guys, if you do have any questions or do want to get in touch, feel free to kind of drop us a message. We'll jump on a call and happy to help you guys out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Joe said, a lot of that stuff is available on the app for free. So even if you just wanted to download the app, do the free trial, it's all there. MacroGolf app on your app stores.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thanks, good. Joe. Guys, thank you for more nutrition tied up. Yeah, if only it was as simple as that. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you on the next one.
Catch you later.